Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet church and a local congregation, and we meet here every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America and worldwide in the name of the Lord. We are so grateful that you are able to join us this afternoon around the Word, around the celebration of Holy Communion. And we want to thank the Lord for you. If you are new to our ministry, our website is MiracleInternetChurch.com. That's MiracleInternetChurch.com. And when the page comes up, if you're on a computer, across the banner you'll see MIC Radio Chat. We invite you to sign in and to say hello and greet the other saints that are here in church. And if you're on a cell phone or other device, when the page comes up, you'll see three white lines against a black background. Click that. That is your link. And it opens up all the other links to you. Amen. Welcome in the name of the Lord. For those of you who are not accustomed, we begin our services with the celebration of Holy Communion. So we will allow a few moments for you to gather your elements if you so desire to participate. Amen. You know, saints, life is very challenging at best. And as we grow in the Lord, we learn more about ourselves, because that's what the Word does. It's a mirror. It's a glass that we look into, and we can see ourselves and who we are and who we ought to become. We can take a good, strong, long, hard look at self. And when we do, we will find some good things there. And we will find some things that need correction and change as well. Don't be afraid to look into the mirror of the Word of God and allow the Scriptures to examine you. Amen. We all want to enter into the kingdom of God. But you know, we all need some more growth too. Amen. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be hesitant. The Lord has an answer for every problem, a solution for everything that we have that's not quite what it ought to be. And He's here to help us. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. The Word is here to show us. Amen? So don't be hesitant to look into the Word to find answers. God has them there just for us. Amen? Amen. So we're going to begin today with repentance and Holy Communion. Amen. I pray that you have your elements ready, because now it's time to go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for every opportunity that we have to repent, every opportunity to say not just, Lord, I'm sorry, but Lord, I recognize that what I have thought, believed, said, or done was not pleasing in your sight, and that you, Lord Jesus, had to die on the cross for this very thing. I realize that it came from within me, and I realize that I need change. I'm choosing, Lord, by an act of my will, to turn away from the things about me that are not pleasing to you. I ask you to forgive me as I confess my sins before you. I ask you to heal me and to deliver me. I need your help, Lord. I have a desire to live to please you, but as you know, still here with me. Temptation is still here with me. Wrong ideas, wrong beliefs, poor behavior are still a part of me, and I struggle with these things. But Lord, you are the glory and the lifter up of my head. You help me to see clearly. You help me to understand. You help me to have faith and trust in you. And I know that you are able, because you walk this world as a human, to help me, because you know what it's like to experience being a human being. Thank you, Lord, for your love touching my heart. Thank you for saving my soul. And thank you for making me more like you. Now, if you have your elements, we will begin. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let's thank the Lord for his mercy and for his grace to his people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We celebrate you, Lord Jesus, and your sacrifice for our sins. We appreciate you, Lord, and we honor you. Thank you for a new opportunity every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness towards us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Well, saints, it's time to go before the Lord in prayer, now that we've gotten our sins out of the way. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift all the prayers that were in the global prayer room, and we brought our agreement into line with the new covenant in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, for the answers and solutions of the Godhead for every prayer request that was listed, Father. We ask your blessing in every situation. We take authority, dominion, and power over the work of the devil, and we bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you will answer every prayer, that you will bring the solution for every need. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the wall of fire with your glory in the midst, for your warring angels. We thank you for the armor of God. We thank you for the praising angels. And we thank you for the plan of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name, and we bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan and his kingdom. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar spirits, electronic and technology devils, Leviathan, Kundalini spirits, false holy spirits, all water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, sorcery, seducing, womanizing, drone spirits, whoredoms, all the voices of the stranger, all remote viewing, all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave weapons and their attacks, all debilitating sonic frequencies. And we overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every mystic ritual and their intent. And we send every attack back where it originated from in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, African, Indian, Caribbean, Latin American, Australian, European, Buddhist, and Santeria, all black magic and white magic, and the work of every druid in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide and all free-flying devils and all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, and all spirits responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents and all satanic ritual abuse and satanic worship and place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders and their webs, and the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the grove, and every spirit that exalts logic, human reasoning, and science against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind Mammon and his agents, and we bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, the spirits and the works of the oppressors, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe and fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, clairvoyance, premonition, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, defilement by wizards, in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride and all of his agents and his kingdom in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry and every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, all combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin, in Jesus' name. We bind Molech and Baselech, Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Atlas, Mammon, Apollyon, and Zeus in the name of Jesus. We chain them with eternal chains unto darkness in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the workers of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind all codes and triggers in Jesus' name. We bind all Manchurian candidates in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We've come, Lord, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we have come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We cut ourselves free, Father, from every entanglement of wickedness in Jesus' name and from every form of agreement with the demonic realm, including ungodly soul ties, vows, pledges, pacts, and attachments in Jesus' name. We break down and tear down all protections around witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, shamans, sorcerers, and all who are in agreement with them. We break and destroy the power of all curses, hexes, vexes, all fetishes, charms, all psychic warfare, all voodoo, all mind control frequencies, death spirits, bewitchments, potions, jinxes,
root works, crystals, hoodoo, candle burnings, incantations, chanting, sickness, pain, and torment, tribal rituals, and sin. And we break the power of every wicked spirit coming against the body of Christ, against the true believers in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the victory in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen and amen. Heavenly Father, today we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, praying for justice and fair treatment to those who have been taken advantage of and overlooked. We're praying for justice and fair treatment for those who are ostracized, criminalized, murdered, abused, and abused due to hatred and pride in society. We are praying for all who have been and are presently experiencing financial abuse by the wealthy. We are praying for those whose opportunities are diminished due to prejudice and oppression. We are praying for those who ought to be promoted but are held back and rejected by wicked people. We are praying that America will become, as it should be, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. We are requesting the righteous judgment on those who are responsible for the derailing, oppression, and unrighteous treatment of the poor and needy, as it states in the covenant. And we thank you, Lord, for Jeremiah 22:3 and Micah 6:8. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, saints, today the Lord has some serious words for each of us, because there's not one of us who've never stepped into this pool, so we will call it. And so today, the Lord wants us to consider being in their shoes, being in their shoes. There was a song quoted some time ago by a famous person who I shall not name. And this is how the song goes. If I could be you, if you could be me, for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's mind. If you could see you through my eyes instead of your own ego, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Just walk a mile in my shoes before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, then walk a mile in my shoes. Now, if we spend the day throwing stones at one another, because I don't think, or wear my hair the same way you do, well, I may be common people, but I'm your brother. And when you strike out, you're trying to hurt me. It's hurting you. Lord, have mercy. Walk a mile in my shoes. Just walk a mile in my shoes before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, then walk a mile in my shoes. Now, there are people on reservation and out in the ghetto. And brother, there but for the grace of God go you and I. Only had wings of a little angel, don't you know? I'd fly to the top of a mountain, and then I'd cry and cry and cry. There are some famous words, saints, that says this.
If you never stood in that man's shoes or saw things through his eyes or stood and watched with helpless hands while the heart inside you dies. So help your brother along the way, no matter where he starts. For the same God that made you made him too. These men with broken hearts. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12, you'll find these words. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Amen. Job chapter 2. Job, beginning with verse 11. Now you'll find these words. When Job's three friends, and we've talked about Job recently, heard all of this evil that had come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You see, saints, when Job's season of testing and trial came, his enemies were delighted to see his calamity. Now, if you've read Job chapter 1, you know about the calamities that befell him. And you know how severe and how serious they were. If you wandered over into Job chapter 2, you know that even Job's body was attacked by the enemy. See, during this time of testing and trial, there were those that were jealous of Job, those that were critical of him because of God's blessings in his life. And so these enemies were delighted to see his calamity. In Job 16, verse 10, they have gaped upon me with their mouth. There it goes. Their mouths are moving. They've got too much to say already. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. There they are. The city gossips have come around to poke fun at me, to point at me, to jeer at me, and to mistreat me. It's not bad enough that I'm having a difficult time and that all my children are dead, that all of my finances are destroyed, and several other things have befallen me. Here they come as well. And there go the opinionites, everyone with their own opinion. Job 19, beginning with verse 18. Job 19, beginning with verse 18. Yes, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. They despised me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. Yes, people will turn against you. I think we call them fair weather friends. So, you see, Job had a lot of people that couldn't wait for something to happen to him. So, you have a homework assignment, Saint. It's to read Job chapter 30, verses 1 through 15. Job chapter 30, verse 1 through 15. That's your homework assignment. But you see, his friends concerned themselves for him, and they endeavored to comfort Job. They endeavored to comfort Job. Now, right this moment, I want you to think just for a few minutes, just a moment or two, about someone that you know, that something has befallen them. What did you do? Did you talk about it and shake your head? Did you pray for them? Did you go out of your way to offer assistance? Or did you just blow it off and say, well, that's life? What did you do? There are many in our society who have been labeled and judged very harshly and quite severely. There are some who have been falsely accused of crimes that they did not commit, and they told the truth at the time of their trial, and because they came from a group that was despised, and there was a desire to satisfy the masses with some victim, some perpetrator for some crime, they were railroaded and sent to prison for many years of their lives until someone discovered that the DNA that God gave to everyone could be used to determine the true innocence or guilt of a person. Many of those persons have become freed from their imprisonment and their bond, which what they innocently suffered for many decades of their lives. But tell me, who can repay them the years that they have lost? Who can restore to them that which was so wickedly taken away? Think about that, if you will. Some of us were raised in households and communities of thought where every kind, order, and rank of prejudging is the order of the day. So since it has been with us for so long, aren't we right, you say? Well, is it right? Saints, the Bible says that when we come to the Lord, we become new creatures in him. Our old patterns of thought and belief pass away. And all things, not some things, not a few things, not select things, all things, yes, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? Well, if so, you've become a new creature, the Bible says. All things are passed away. Well, in order for them to pass away, don't you have to let go of them? The old thing, don't you have to let go of them? In order to be the new creature that Christ has made you to be? Behold, all things come new. Well, then, doesn't that mean that the old things must go? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, we have somewhat of a further explanation. And it reads, and they, speaking of those that are in Christ, they that are Christ have crucified, put to death, have crucified the flesh, self, with the affections and lust. Affections for things that don't please God. Lust and passions that are against the Spirit of the living God. Saints, we have recently ended a fast which focused on wicked inheritances. Those inheritances often blinded your eyes to truth and corrupted your vision. These inheritances have been such a part of your life for so long that you think that the wicked inheritance is indeed good and who you really are. However, I would challenge you today to take a more scriptural look in your own mirror. Mm-hmm. Yes, you see, it's different once we look into the Word of life. How much of the old man is still alive in you? Only you can answer that. How corrupted has your vision become over the years of your life? What have you absorbed as a sponge does from the prevailing attitudes of society that seriously offend the Lord? Perhaps you should throw that sponge out. That's right. Perhaps you should throw that sponge out. well, you say, well, I've always thought da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Well, you would think da-da-da-da-da. Hmm. For those who know the word, consider this presumption. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 51. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 51. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You see, these people didn't want to be challenged because they had already made up their mind on the situation, and they had scripture to stand on, so they thought. They answered and said to that person, search and look. We know everything about the word. We've been in the word for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Well, you see, if they had but spoken to Mary and asked her one or two questions, they would not have been so presumptuous and so quick to make a wrong judgment. But you see, no proper investigation was done. Self-righteousness and presumption and ignorance and tradition and hypocrisy were the order of the day. Mm-hmm. We grow into adulthood, we take on the attitude and set of beliefs of our peer group. And we do so continually throughout life. In order to fit in, we did whatever they were doing. And many of us grew to understand that got us in trouble with the Lord. We didn't want to bring attention to ourselves by appearing to rock the boat. So instead of standing for righteousness and good moral that we had been taught, we went along with the gang. Well, saints, some of us still need to outgrow those beliefs. Amen? Saints, Job's friends sat down with him to bring comfort during his trial. They did not utter a word for 7 days and 7 nights. They sat with him in sorrow and astonishment over what had befallen him. Is that how we respond to ills and wrongs in our society, in our community, in our peer group, in our family, and in the body of Christ? Is that what we do? Is that what you do? Just asking. Or are we quick to have an opinion? Are we quick to have an opinion? Do we take our knowledge and opinion from trusted others? Or do we obey the word? Each person must answer this question for themselves. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Is that what we do in our court system? Is it? Is that what we do in our community groups? Is that what we do in our home, in our marriages, in our family relationships? When one member of the family, far more prosperous than another member of the family, who do we lean toward? Who do we favor? Who do we prefer to listen to? Well, saints, that's a good question before the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 8. Psalm 9, verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. Speaking of our Lord. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That's him. What about you and I? Psalm 19, verse 9. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The Lord doesn't make mistakes. He's right. He knows everything. Psalm 33, verse 5. Psalm 33, verse 5. Our God, speaking of our God, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 6. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. The Lord executes. You see, he doesn't just sit back and think about it. He does something about it. He executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Psalm 106, verse 3. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Not he that just thinks about it. He that actually keeps and obeys God's judgment, and that does righteousness at all times. Who's blessed of God? Psalm 119, verse 62. Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Something to consider. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. Amen. Let's think about that for a moment. Amen. It's so. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah. Chapter 11. Isaiah 3:11. And I'm going to flip there with you. Almost there. And I'm going to begin at verse 1, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Amen. You see, Jesus is different from people. And we are growing to become more like Jesus. At least that's our hope. Amen. That is our hope. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Words for meditation. Words to be applied to the life. You see, all of us have been in this predicament at some point from birth until now. All of us. We're all human. All humans do wrong, make mistakes, poor judgment, and sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need Jesus Christ. You see, all of us have done this at some point to ourselves and to someone else. And so the Lord is bringing this to our attention today because we are in the process of turning from our wicked ways.
So, you see, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is giving us, the Christian, direction for our own conduct in reference to the faults of others. What's he saying? Deal with your faults first. He begins by saying, judge not. We must judge ourselves and our own acts. We must not judge others or our brothers with partial truths, partial facts, ignorance, prejudice, bias, bigotry, presumption, lack of experience, lack of wisdom, and sophistication. Many persons indulge in this sin daily. But the Lord tells us that we are not to do that. You see, people judge others on the condition of their front lawn. They compare themselves with others, and in that comparison, they are not wise, the Bible says. We are not to do that. We're not to judge the people in our neighborhood based on how often they mow their lawn or whether or not they edge up around their plants, or whether their lawn is mowed regularly in our opinion or not. People judge others by their hairstyle. People judge people by their body type. People judge people by the vehicle that another drives. People judge people by their marital status or how many children they have, or what school they graduated from, or a number of other irrational notions. People judge other people harshly all the time. And people judge other people favorably when maybe they shouldn't all the time. But the Bible tells us, whether favorably or not, judge not, that we be not judged. You see, there are those of us who have entered into relationships with others based on our own judgment and the foolishness of our own opinions and not according to the wisdom of God. Some of us have gone so far as to marry the person based on our own judgment, our own flesh, and not according to the wisdom of God. If you were a Christian when you did that, you can probably think back to some red flags that popped up back then. And if you were with this ministry when that happened, let me ask you this. Did you ask the pastor to pray for you and your decision process before you made your choice? Did you? Did you ask Dr. Pat or myself or Brother Marshall to pray for you
in your decision-making process. That's a good place to look. You see, to some, the YouTube is their conscience and their source of truth. If not YouTube, then Facebook or the mainstream media. Christians are forbidden from sitting in the judgment seat of whomever you listen to the most. Failure to seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit before information is accepted is sinful, because we are to guard our hearts. Yes, because out of our heart flow the issues of life. We have to act like Jesus did in Isaiah. Do we do that? Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, trust in the Lord. It does not say trust in your emotions. Trust in the way you were raised. Trust in what your granddaddy thought. Or trust in what your neighbor thought. It doesn't say that. It says trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, I heard Sister so-and-so say such and such. And I heard my neighbor, and I heard on the news, and I heard when I got to work. So if this many people says it must be right, that is not what the scripture says. It says in the next verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him, acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh, I know about this. You don't have to tell me, because I know all about this. I was raised over there, and I know all about those people. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Beginning with verse 7. You know, there are those of us who have listened to the news media locally, and we've read the newspaper locally, and we have determined that certain parts of the city are better than other parts of the city. We have labeled certain parts of the city as undesirable and certain other parts of the city as highly desirable. And we have judged persons who come from those other parts of the city as undesirable, just as we have judged that part of the city. But me remind you what was said of Jesus Christ. He was a Nazarene from Nazareth. And it was said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Well, tell me, did any good thing come from Nazareth? You see, there are times when familiarity breeds contempt. And there are times when prejudice breeds hatred and despising and judging and sin. In Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, let me speak to something that I have experienced on many occasions. As you know, Miracle Outreach Ministries does not turn away anyone due to race or national origin. And I'm speaking specifically of my own personal experience. Well, guess what? In every group of people, there are those who think, well, you're black, so you ought to know about all black people everywhere. And so I'll ask you, well, why do black people do this? Well, don't all black people think this? And don't all black people think that? Well, let me answer you. Do all Spanish people know all Spanish people? Do they know what every Spanish person thinks, or every Greek person, or every Swede, or every Brit? Well, or every Canadian? In any group, does any one person know everyone that might be included in that group and what everyone in that group thinks? I'm a female. Do I know what every single female thinks? You answer. Look at yourself and answer. Amen? Sometimes we need to think first. Amen? Amen. So, in Luke, before we get there, let's talk about this other thing. We're not ready to go there yet. We'll get there. You see, saints, we're not allowed to judge uncharitably, unmercifully, not with a spirit of revenge, nor with a desire to do harm. We are not allowed to judge the hearts of others, nor their intentions, because it's the Lord's exclusive right and privilege to test the heart. We are not to label others as thugs or any other derogatory term. Everyone who is a human being has been allowed on this planet by the Lord himself, whether that person is aware of this truth or not. There is an admonition in Scripture to help us see this matter from God's point of view. And it is, that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. Counsel, help, yes, but do not judge. There is no need for such. The word of God judges all of us. The Word of God judges every single person. There's no need for additional judgment.
If we choose and presume to judge others, we can expect to be judged ourselves. The scripture says so. No mercy will be shown to those who refuse to show mercy to others, especially to their reputation. Now, you see, we have seen this en masse fold throughout society, but particularly in the last 5 years. We have seen those who think themselves to be in great power to attempt to destroy the reputation and credibility of those whom they should not have attacked. That is right. We've seen it. It is far better to try the spirit in you to see if it be of God. You see, there is but one. Right, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Don't just talk about it. Don't just know that it's in the Bible. Do it. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So you see, the priest made a judgment. He made a presumption. He came to a decision and a choice. And he decided that he wasn't going to get involved. Have you done that? Ever? And likewise, a Levite, when he came at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Notice he got away from him as fast as he could. But a certain Samaritan, a half-breed, not fully a Jew, no, Jew and something, someone else. That's what Samaritans were. They were a mixed group of people. No right to the covenant. As he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, what happened? He had compassion on him. And went to him and took action and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own, put him in his brand new Ram truck, and took him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. He took out some money and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more
When I come back through, I'll repay you. Now, which of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You see, this is where Jesus is calling us to. How easy it is to act like the priest and the Levite. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And I'm going to move through this scripture a little faster than usual. So follow with me as best you can. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. So he was an idolater. He was already in sin and backslid. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So he burnt his own children. He set fire to them in sacrifice to demons. This is a wonderful person, can't you tell? He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree, and was in serious witchcraft and the occult. Wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him, and carried away a great multitude of them captive, and brought them to Damascus. Yes, the same Damascus that's there in Syria now. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. There were some prophets there. And they had something to say about these matters that were taking place. Let's pick up at verse 8. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. But the prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria, and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. They're going to make slaves of their brethren. That's what they're going to do here. They've conquered them because God was upset with this group, and so he allowed them to conquer them. So for that, and I mean that slaughter was horrid. It was in such a rage that it made it all the way to heaven. There are some things that happen on earth that the news precedes any angel all the way to heaven. And so now, after all of this, they're going to make slaves of them. And so the prophet says, but are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Haven't you sinned? You think you're so high and mighty because God gave them as captives to you, so now you're going to add sin to sin? Really? Is that what you're going to do? Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. So, some of the heads that speak out stood up against them that came from the war and said unto them, you shall not bring in the captives hither. You're not bringing them here. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. You see, they thought again. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. That's a good thing to look at. You see, after having overcome the army of Judah, the prophets of the Lord spake up, and the army of Israel was convicted and chose to have compassion on the captives. Compassion on the captives. So you see, saints, the Lord desires for his saints to have compassion, even on those who go astray and are foolish in their dealing. You know what I mean. You know, we've all done something stupid at some point in life. If you made it to the age of 4, you've done that. Something that wasn't so bright, wasn't the right thing. But at the time, you were busy doing your thing. It just that your thing wasn't the right thing. So, in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 11, the Lord left us these words that we should meditate upon. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountain and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Food for thought. Matthew 22, beginning with verse 7. Once again, the Lord says this to us. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Things we are to do. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Jesus takes it personally. Jesus takes it personally. Yes, he does. Jesus takes it personally. As a result of our growth in the Lord, we must come to the place where we pray, seek the Lord, inspect ourselves, rid ourselves of our sacred cows and old judgment, humble ourselves, and allow the true love of God to flow through our hearts to those whom we have previously judged, whether for good or for bad. The falsehood of the past must be done away with. The presumptions of ignorance must be repented of. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid shall not be known. Amen? If so. If I could be you, if you could be me, for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's mind, if you could see you through through my eyes instead of your own ego. I believe you'd be. I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Just walk a mile in my shoes. Before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, then walk a mile in my shoes. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. Can the church say amen? Amen. I think we all could stand to recast this particular sermon. Again, there's much to learn. The Lord's had a lot to say, and we need to hear him again. Rise for the benediction, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Rise for the benediction. Now, saints, we'll be back on Wednesday at 6:30 and Friday at 6:30, so plan to join us and plan to invite someone else who is not acquainted with us to join you. He loves you, and the Lord bless you. Now the benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the church said amen, amen, and amen. Pastor loves you.